to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. I don't need words and I don't need songs, but I choose to give them. My light shines bright when it shines for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't how I act, how I choose to love you. Light shines brighter when it shines for two. You turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibility. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything I need. I don't need words, I don't need songs, but I choose to use them. My life shines brighter when it shines for you. Oh, this little light of mine, God, you keep it burning brighter. Trust me, I'm gonna let it shine if you keep it burning brighter. Ooh, and I don't need words, no, I don't need songs, but I choose. I'm brighter when I shine for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't hot air. Now I choose to love you. Light shines brighter when it shines for two. Oh,
Amen. Hello, I am Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and I want to welcome all of you to Running for Christ Ministries Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will be reading the book of Daniel, chapters 1 through 6, and following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue. Then your mic will be opened, and you can answer the question or make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to 0 if possible. A good way to do this is to simply mute your phone when you are not speaking and unmuting when we want to speak. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to digest your word in a way that is very intrinsic. And thank you again for everything that you do on a daily basis, Lord, and we ask that you continue to hold us in your hands and keep us from all hurt, harm, or danger. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we will listen to chapters 1 through 6, and I will see you on the other side.
Daniel, chapter 1. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it with his armies. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah. When Nebuchadnezzar returned to Babylon, he took with him some of the sacred objects from the temple of God and placed them in the treasure house of his God in the land of Babylonia. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, who was in charge of the palace officials, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives.
"Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men," he said. "Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good sense, and have the poise needed to serve in the royal palace. Teach these young men the language and literature of the Babylonians.
The king assigned them a daily ration of the best food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for a 3-year period, and then some of them would be made his advisors in the royal court. Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were 4 of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief official renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Ananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead. Now God had given the chief official great respect for Daniel, but he was alarmed by Daniel's suggestion.
"My lord, the king has ordered that you eat this food and wine,"
he said.
"If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I am afraid the king will have me beheaded for neglecting my duties."
Daniel talked it over with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief official to look after Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
"Test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water,"
Daniel said.
"At the end of 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's rich food. Then you can decide whether or not to let us continue eating our diet."
So the attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his 3 friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the rich foods and wines. God gave these 4 young men an unusual aptitude for learning the literature and science of the time. And God gave Daniel special ability in understanding the meanings of visions and dreams. When the 3-year training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief official brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with each of them, and none of them impressed him as much as Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they were appointed to his regular staff of advisors. In all matters requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, the king found the advice of these young men to be 10 times better than that of all the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained there until the 1st year of King Cyrus's reign. Chapter 2. One night during the 2nd year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that disturbed him so much that he couldn't sleep. He called in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. As they stood before the king, he said,
"I have had a dream that troubles me. Tell me what I dreamed, for I must know what it means."
Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic,
"Long live the king. Tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means."
But the king said to the astrologers,
"I am serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be demolished into heaps of rubble. But if you tell me what I dreamed and what the dream means, I will give you many wonderful gifts and honors. Just tell me the dream and what it means."
They said again,
"Please, your majesty, tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means."
The king replied,
"I can see through your trick. You're trying to stall for time because you know I am serious about what I said. If you don't tell me the dream, you will be condemned. You have conspired to tell me lies in hopes that something will change. But tell me the dream, and then I will know that you can tell me what it means."
The astrologers replied to the king,
"There isn't a man alive who can tell your majesty his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. This is an impossible thing the king requires. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live among people."
The king was furious when he heard this, and he sent out orders to execute all the wise men of Babylon. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. He asked Arioch,
"Why has the king issued such a harsh decree?"
So Arioch told him all that had happened. Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time so he could tell the king what the dream meant. Then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. He urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret, so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven, saying,
"Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he alone has all wisdom and power. He determines the course of world events. He removes kings and sets others on the throne. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he himself is surrounded by light. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of you and revealed to us what the king demanded."
Then Daniel went in to see Arioch, who had been ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. Daniel said to him,
"Don't kill the wise men. Take me to the king, and I will tell him the meaning of his dream."
Then Arioch quickly took Daniel to the king and said,
"I have found one of the captives from Judah who will tell your majesty the meaning of your dream."
The king said to Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar,
"Is this true? Can you tell me what my dream was and what it means?"
Daniel replied,
"There are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can tell the king such things. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay on your bed. While your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. The revealer of mysteries has shown you what is going to happen, and it is not because I am wiser than any living person that I know the secret of your dream, but because God wanted you to understand what you were thinking about. Your majesty, in your vision, you saw in front of you a huge and powerful statue of a man, shining brilliantly, frightening and awesome. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were of silver. Its belly and thighs were of bronze. Its legs were of iron, and its feet were a combination of iron and clay. But as you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain by supernatural means. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue collapsed into a heap of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. The pieces were crushed as small as chaff on a threshing floor, and the wind blew them all away without a trace. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. That was the dream. Now I will tell your majesty what it means. Your majesty, you are a king over many kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. He has made you the ruler over all the inhabited world and has put even the animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold. But after your kingdom comes to an end, another great kingdom, inferior to yours, will rise to take your place. After that kingdom has fallen, yet a third great kingdom, represented by the bronze belly and thighs, will rise to rule the world. Following that kingdom, there will be a fourth great kingdom, as strong as iron. That kingdom will smash and crush all previous empires, just as iron smashes and crushes everything it strikes. The feet and toes you saw that were a combination of iron and clay show that this kingdom will be divided. Some parts of it will be as strong as iron, and others as weak as clay. This mixture of iron and clay also shows that these kingdoms will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage, but this will not succeed, just as iron and clay do not mix. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. No one will ever conquer it. It will shatter all these kingdoms into nothingness, but it will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain by supernatural means, crushing to dust the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God has shown your majesty what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar bowed to the ground before Daniel and worshipped him, and he commanded his people to offer sacrifices and burn sweet incense before him. The king said to Daniel,
"Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret."
Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over all his wise men. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained in the king's court. Chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the princes, prefects, governors, advisors, counselors, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. When all these officials had arrived and were standing before the image King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, a herald shouted out,
"People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace."
So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshipped the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar,
"Long live the king! You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They have defied your majesty by refusing to serve your gods or to worship the gold statue you have set up."
Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them,
"Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance. If you bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments, all will be well. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. What god will be able to rescue you from my power then?"
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied,
"Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you.
If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the god whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty."
"But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up."
Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace fully clothed. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell down into the roaring flames. But suddenly, as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors,
"Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?"
"Yes,"
they said.
"We did indeed, your majesty."
"Look,"
Nebuchadnezzar shouted,
"I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire. They aren't even hurt by the flames. And the 4th looks like a divine being."
Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted,
"Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out! Come here!"
So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the princes, prefects, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said,
"Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be crushed into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this.
Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. Chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world.
Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever, his rule through all generations. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that greatly frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar after my god, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said to him, O Belteshazzar, master magician, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now, tell me what my dream means. While I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. Then, as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, Cut down the tree, lop off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Chase the animals from its shade, and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live like an animal among the plants of the fields. For 7 periods of time, let him have the mind of an animal instead of a human. For this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the holy ones. The purpose of this decree is that the whole world may understand that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of humans. O Belteshazzar, that was the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now tell me what it means, for no one else can help me. All the wisest men of my kingdom have failed me, but you can tell me, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time, aghast at the meaning of the dream. Finally, the king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means. Belteshazzar replied, Oh, how I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. You saw a tree growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. That tree, your majesty, is you. For you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to heaven, and your rule to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him eat grass with the animals of the field for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to you. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and the roots were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, please listen to me. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past by being merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, "Just look at this great city of Babylon. I, by my own mighty power, have built this beautiful city as my royal residence and as an expression of my royal splendor." While he was still speaking these words, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses." That very same hour, the prophecy was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshipped the Most High and honored the One who lives forever. His rule is everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He has the power to do as he pleases among the angels of heaven and with those who live on earth. No one can stop him or challenge him, saying, "What do you mean by doing these things?" When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and officers sought me out, and I was reestablished as head of my kingdom with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of Heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble those who are proud.
Chapter 5. A number of years later, King Belshazzar gave a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver cups that his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that he and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought these gold cups taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank toasts from them to honor their idols made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. At that very moment, they saw the fingers of a human hand writing on the plaster wall of the king's palace near the lampstand. The king himself saw the hand as it wrote, and his face turned pale with fear. Such terror gripped him that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way beneath him. The king shouted for the enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers to be brought before him. He said to these wise men of Babylon,
"Whoever can read this writing and tell me what it means will be dressed in purple robes of royal honor and will wear a gold chain around his neck. He will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom."
But when all the king's wise men came in, none of them could read the writing or tell him what it meant. So the king grew even more alarmed, and his face turned ashen white. His nobles, too, were shaken. But when the queen mother heard what was happening, she hurried to the banquet hall. She said to Belshazzar,
"Long live the king. Don't be so pale and afraid about this. There is a man in your kingdom who has within him the spirit of the holy gods. During Nebuchadnezzar's reign, this man was found to have insight, understanding, and wisdom as though he himself were a god. Your predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him chief over all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers of Babylon. This man Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, has a sharp mind and is filled with divine knowledge and understanding. He can interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means.
So Daniel was brought in before the king. The king asked him,
Are you Daniel, who was exiled from Judah by my predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar? I have heard that you have the spirit of the gods within you, and that you are filled with insight, understanding, and wisdom. My wise men and enchanters have tried to read this writing on the wall, but they cannot. I am told that you can give interpretations and solve difficult problems. If you can read these words and tell me their meaning, you will be clothed in purple robes of royal honor, and you will wear a gold chain around your neck. You will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom.
Daniel answered the king,
Keep your gifts, or give them to someone else, but I will tell you what the writing means. Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He made him so great that people of all races and nations and languages trembled before him in fear. He killed those he wanted to kill, and spared those he wanted to spare. He honored those he wanted to honor, and disgraced those he wanted to disgrace. But when his heart and mind were hardened with pride, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of an animal, and he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven, until he learned that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone who desires to rule over them. You are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all this. Yet you have not humbled yourself, for you have defied the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from his temple brought before you. You and your nobles and your wives and concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Gods that neither see nor hear nor know anything at all. But you have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. So God has sent this hand to write a message. This is the message that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. This is what these words mean. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and have failed the test. Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians.
Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robes, a gold chain was hung around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Chapter 6. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a prince to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the princes and to watch out for the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and princes. Because of his great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and princes began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling his affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize. He was faithful and honest and always responsible. So they concluded,
Our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the requirements of his religion.
So the administrators and princes went to the king and said,
Long live King Darius! We administrators, prefects, princes, advisors, and other officials have unanimously agreed that your majesty should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to your majesty, will be thrown to the lions. And let your majesty issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, a law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked.
So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down, as usual, in his upstairs room, with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. The officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went back to the king and reminded him about his law.
Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to your majesty, will be thrown to the lion?
Yes,
the king replied.
That decision stands. It is a law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked.
Then they told the king,
that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is paying no attention to you or your law. He still prays to his God three times a day.
Hearing this, the king was very angry with himself for signing the law, and he tried to find a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said,
your majesty knows that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed.
So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him,
may your God, whom you worship continually, rescue you.
A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel from the lions. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish,
Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you worship continually, able to rescue you from the lions?
Daniel answered,
long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty.
The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world.
Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions.
So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
All right. Before we get into the review questions, I am going to read some information about the Book of Daniel. And so I'm going to read the vital statistics out of the New Living Translation. The purpose. The purpose is to give a historical account of the faithful Jews who lived in the captivity in Babylon, and to show that God is in control of heaven and earth, directing the forces of nature, the destiny of nations, and the care of his people. The author of the Book of Daniel is Daniel. The date it was written is approximately 536 BC, recording events that occurred from about 605 to 536 BC. The key verse is God reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. All right, let's get into the question. Question number one, what instructions did the king give Ashpenaz in regard to the young man he corralled?
Chapter 1, 3, and 4.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, I shouldn't answer this question. I'm going to murder these names.
It's okay.
Then the king ordered, is it Ashpenaz? his chief of staff to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judea, royal families and the other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon.
Amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question number two. Daniel was blatantly defiant to the king's eating instructions. True or false?
False.
It is false. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it verse 8?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Let me get to it. Verse 8 reads, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods.
Amen. So he wasn't blatantly defiant. He asked for permission, so that was key to that. Before I move forward, I have some notes about the young man and the instructions and all of that. The Hebrew word for young man was probably referred to teenagers, a good estimate being aged around 15. Language and literature of the Chaldeans referred to an ancient university-style education in Aramaic. Daniel and his friends, whose original names honored the God of Israel, were given names that intended to honor the false gods of Babylon. That Daniel, God is my judge, became Tajar, Baal protect him. Ananiah, Yahweh has been gracious, became Shadrach, the command of a coup. Mishael, who is what God is, became Meshach, who is what a coup is. Azariah, Yahweh has helped, became Abednego, servant of Nabo. I found that really interesting that their names were changed to kind of blatantly disrespect God in a sense, right? All right. Question number three. Which verse indicates that God shows the Hebrew young man favor, especially Daniel?
Verse 17?
Yep, that's what I got.
Yeah, okay, 17.
Go ahead. You can read it.
God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams.
Amen.
Thank you. Question number four. In the beginning of chapter two, we see Nebuchadnezzar sleeping well. True or false?
False.
Yep, it's false. And was that found in verse? I want to make sure the verse. Did somebody? I had chapter 2:1-3.
Yep.
I had one.
2 and 3. It's not wrong. One is actually where the. Where actually the meat of it is, but like 2 and 3 kind of describe like what he was going through type thing. So
okay.
That's why I was So all of that is fine.
But it
I
was
it.
False.
Yes, it is false.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can someone read verses 1-3, please?
Oh. Okay, one night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such disturbing dreams that he couldn't sleep. He called in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. As they stood before the king, he said, I have had a dream that deeply troubles me, and I must know what it means.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question number 5. An angel revealed the king's mystery to Daniel. True or false?
I said false too.
Yeah, because it wasn't an angel, it was God.
In a vision. Yeah.
In a vision, right.
Yep, and it's verse
19. Right?
Yep, verse 19.
I have verse 19.
Yep.
What chapter is that? 2?
Yes.
Chapter 2.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric, you want to read it?
Chapter 2, what was it, 19?
Verse 19.
I will. That night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Amen.
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 One of my notes is that the secret refers to a mystery that can only be done in the divine and revelation. And so sometimes I think about it. I ask myself, was it a big theophany or was it a little theophany, right? So that was kind of, that stuck out to me. All right. Amen. Number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Which? Huh?
Nothing.
Okay. Which verses describe God's kingdom rule after all mankind's kingdoms have fallen?
44 and 45.
Yes.
It reads as follows. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain, though not by human hands, that crushed to pieces the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true and its meaning is certain. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sarah, I got a question.
Go ahead.
39... Also, because it says, but after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise to take your place. After that kingdom has fallen. Yeah. I didn't know. I just covered like 39 all the way down because it talked about it.
Yeah, it was a big section. Yep. I did that too. It was a really big section. Yep. And it's interesting you brought that up. It's interesting you brought that up because I did some digging, right, because it's me, and I was able to dissect the image and the different materials that went with them. And so really quick, the four kingdoms of the image were Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Macedonian, and Roman. These pagan empires were human in their origin, temporary in their nature, and will be overcome in their weakness. Over against these, God will set up a kingdom which should be divine in its origin, eternal in its nature, and unconquerable in its strength. This kingdom is the kingdom of Christ and God today, established on Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus, which has endured the attacks of Satan, the viciousness of time, and is destined to be presented unto God the Father, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 and 28. The book of Revelation is God's moving picture and symbols of the testing of that kingdom's claim to divine origin and permanence and the proof of its divine character as it withstood each onslaught from every quarter about that the devil would bring against it. Amen. So that picture is really big, and so it takes a lot to discuss that, but I did want to highlight the fact that we come out victorious, and, like, the God that we serve comes out victorious in the end. And to know that he's the rock in the picture that conquers all of that, that statue in a sense, and bows over it, right, is more than enough to wait, right? Amen.
Okay.
Amen. All right. Number 7. What announcement did the herald or court official give from King Nebuchadnezzar, and did the people obey?
That's number 3, either 1 through 12 or 4 through 12.
Yeah, I had okay. 2 answers. I had 2 answers because you had 2 questions. So I said
okay.
3 to 4 was yes, the people, but
okay.
then 2, 13, and 18 was the no's because that was Meshach, and that was the ones that didn't do what he said. So I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I had 4 through 6, and then also
okay.
I had 7 through 12. I didn't know which way to go.
And I had 4 through 12, so I don't know.
Okay.
We're covering it.
Because that first 3 verses talked about what they were, what he wanted them to do as far as bowing to the statue. So that just kind of gave it the whole thought, like Crystal be saying. But
okay.
No, they.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
verse 4 through 12. I got you.
So, Eric, actually, I had 4 through 7. And so one of the things that God did was that he asked, what did the people do, not what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. And so
exactly.
I was like, oh, reading comprehension. And so I was like,
okay.
So
they're people too.
Okay.
So
they're people too.
What did
the people do? Like, what did the actual people do? So when I wrote the question, I was like, this is a trick question. And then the Lord, it was like a Bible reading class. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's not me. So that wasn't me, y'all. That was, I promise.
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, no, because, okay, it says, but there are some Jews, and that's when it talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So are they special people and not just regular people? I know that they were appointed and they had favor shown for them, but wouldn't they be like regular people too or no?
So they are regular
yeah.
people essentially, right? But because God showed them this special favor, and because they followed these specific rules and they had this this vow, if you will, to God, they were kind of highlighted a little bit differently than regular people.
Mm-hmm. I think that they were officials or priests anything. But okay.
No, they didn't have any specific titles. They were young. They were about 15. So they were kids.
Okay.
Yep, they were kids essentially. So in other cultures, 15 is grown. Versus our 15,
yeah.
and, you know, our culture, 15 is, you know, kind of me a kid. So
right, still a kid. Yeah, still a kid.
Yep. But that's, thank you for asking that, because,
Yeah, because I was just thinking them as regular people, and everybody else said, we're going to bow down, he's going to knock us off if we don't. But the 3 stood strong, and that's why I said the second part, 13 through 18.
But these guys,
they were not people from that city. It sounded like they were taken and placed there, and the way they was then they was treated in a certain way.
Well, he called. Remember, he announced it. He called everybody to come from all around
every nation
in that area.
Everybody had a chance not to bow down, but they bowed down. Except for those 3.
Yep. Yeah.
They knew of a different God. Then these people was respecting the God that he had built. They knew of the real true God, so they knew they weren't to bow down and worship no other God other than the true living God. So
exactly.
That was why. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, we threw it. All right.
I love it. Okay, I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 4 through 12, just to cover all the bases for everybody, to make it fair.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, then a herald shouted out, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. when you hear the sound of a horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar, gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bow to the ground and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Right. Number 8. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were afraid when confronted by the king. True or false?
False.
False.
Super false. Super.
16 through 18.
Hi, yes. Daddy.
And that's what I
sorry, y'all.
I love that one. That was beautiful.
Sorry, y'all. I'm sorry.
No, that was good. That was. I'm with that one.
I didn't even
hello,
know.
Boy. I love my good brother. I mean, I'm sorry. I apologize. Hello, Daddy.
16 to 18 reads as follows. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your God or worship the God's gold statue you have set up."
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And yes, for all the Blog Talk listeners, Deacon Charles Tate is my daddy, and I am. Number 9. What similes, words, comparison using like or as, was used to describe the fourth person in the furnace?
Is it verse 25?
25? Okay.
Yeah. That's what
I had
25, 26.
Yeah,
yes,
I had 26 too. 25 and 26.
Okay.
Okay.
Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." Amen.
Amen. Amen. One thing that just kind of popped into my head, actually, was that this was a theophany, too, if you will. So a theophany is when God shows up in physical manifestations. And so if Nebuchadnezzar was able to see him, then this too is a theophany. So sorry, that was just kind of like a random.
Okay.
All right.
But
number, huh?
Go ahead. Nothing. Go ahead. I'm good. Go ahead.
You sure?
So I mean, what was the answer? 24 and 5, or just 25?
So it was just I just had 25 because of the similarity.
Okay, cool. That's good. That's
using like or as.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
No doubt. Appreciate you. But I definitely appreciate Akiva because that kind of made me think a little bit with the theophany word that I like to use.
Okay.
Number 10. Nebuchadnezzar was relieved to see Daniel after others couldn't interpret his dream. True or false?
True.
True. True. Yes. What verses do we all have?
4:18.
Eight? 4:8?
He was named Belteshazzar after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said to him, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream means.
You're right.
I like the way you said that name, Rebecca. Say it one more time.
Yeah.
Let's say it again. Yes, I had to think about it when I said it.
She can read well. She reads
right.
Well.
Wow.
One of the
said that about she can read well, I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I mean, it comes out so smooth, like she be practicing.
Eloquently.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Good response. Eloquently. Good response.
Yes.
Good response.
I love it. I was asking God while I was doing these questions, like, how come we can't talk about this? And so, again, it was, you know, Bible reading class, and you have to highlight the small things, but we have to make sure we're reading. And Nebuchadnezzar was so happy to see Daniel. Imagine not being able to sleep all night because your stomach hurts and you're, like, sweating. And now, like, I have these dreams and I'm seeing things and I don't know what's going on. And, like, here he is. Come tell me what's going on now. And he's probably, like, shaking them. And he's probably, like, doing whatever it takes to get Daniel to talk. So for Nebuchadnezzar to depend on Daniel like that, I kind of wondered, did Nebuchadnezzar believe secretly and just didn't want to tell anybody because he was king and because that made him look like not sovereign, you know? But that was just me. Sorry. Again, I'm rabbit hole. All right. Number 11. What interpretation did Daniel give to Nebuchadnezzar?
I have verses 20 through 26.
Okay. I did 24 through 27.
Me too.
What chapter were you in?
27. 4, chapter 4.
And I have 22 through 27.
Oh, wow.
For 11?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I had chapter 4, 20. Verses 19 through 26, I think. No, 24 through 26. My bad.
Okay. Look at you. See? There we have it.
Pardon?
I said, yep, 22, and I have 24, 22 through 27. So add 27 on there.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. You have 24 through 27?
22 through 27.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I have 22
through
27. I
have
enough. All right.
That's okay. We're here. We're here.
That tree, your majesty, is you, for you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to the heavens, and your rule to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven, saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals of the field for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, your majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my lord the king. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way. until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdom of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and the roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you. That's how we went to sleep.
Yeah. I never want a lesson like that. So I hope nobody else. No, thank you. Number 12. Oh, sorry. Before I move on to number 12, Daniel basically advised the king to repent with the hope that this might prevent God's discipline. And so that was interesting because even when you think so highly of yourself, God is like, hey, let's try to fix this, right? And he sends people along to inform us as he did Nebuchadnezzar, but it's definitely up to us to decide what we want to listen to. Number 12, who remembered Daniel when no one could interpret the handwriting on the wall?
The mother, 5:10, the queen's mother.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have. Yep.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Sorry, my pages were sticking together.
No, you're all right.
Okay. 5:10. But when
it's,
the queen,
you got 10 and 11, right?
Huh?
10 and 11.
Yeah, I just did 10, but I can read 11.
Okay, no, I'm just asking. Okay, go ahead.
You can do 11 too, but it was saying what she was. Uh-huh. Sorry. 11 was saying what she was saying about Daniel. Sorry.
Oh, okay. But when the queen mother heard what was happening, she hurried to the banquet hall. She said, "Okay, here we go. Belshazzar." Yeah, I can't say it like Rebecca. Long live the king. Don't be so pale.
That's a different
and
person.
There's a man in your kingdom who has within him the spirit of the holy God. During Nebuchadnezzar's reign, this man was found to have an insight, understanding, and wisdom like that of the gods. The king's predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him chief over all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers of Babylon.
3:12:2.
Yeah. Oh, all right, sir. This man Daniel, whom the king named, here we go, Belshazzar, has exceptional abilities and is filled with divine knowledge and understanding. He can interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. Oh yeah, that completes it.
Amen.
Okay, wait. So does this mean that the Adams family was inspired by scripture?
Okay.
Why not, right?
Hold on. Would y'all please break that down for me right there? Because I'm lost.
Why not? I mean, okay, so we have a hand that's not attached to anything.
Right.
People that are not used to seeing this hand.
Okay. I got some nuts.
You know, I teach fifth grade, so I had to think of something, Eric. I always got to think of an answer. So, we're going to work this out.
Not just when I heard the Adams family, but now, okay, I can see you relating that hand.
Yeah.
That hand that gave me. Okay.
Like, what is that?
All right, y'all confusing people out there. Mm-hmm.
Before we move on, I want to point this out. So verse 6 says, and his face turned pale with fright, and his knees knocked together in fear, and his legs gave way beneath him. That is the NLT that says that, but the Christian Standard Bible says his face turned pale and his thoughts so terrified him that he soiled himself and his knees knocked together.
He passed out.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would have to.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. You see a hand, nothing attached to it.
In the middle of a party at that.
Yeah, right.
That's a juice bread. But the answer, it was 10. The answer was 11
5, 10. And 12. 5,
oh,
11. 10, through, 10 through 12.
Yes. Yeah.
12, yeah. Okay.
All right. Number 13. Blank lifted himself up against the Lord of Heaven. Who is that?
I said 22 and 20, chapter 5, 22 and 23.
That's what I had to.
Oh, wow, I didn't get anything. I couldn't figure it out.
It's that. Okay. It's the name you say smoothly, right, Sarah?
Yes.
Okay, yes. There we go.
Y'all ready? Okay. Verses 22 and 23 read, "You are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all this. Yet you have not humbled yourself. For you have proudly defiled the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from the temple brought before you. You and your nobles and your wives and concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Gods that never see nor hear nor know anything at all. But you have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. So God has sent this hand to write this message." Amen.
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 Really quick, so Daniel's name was Belshazzar.
Mm-hmm.
So with the T in the middle. And so this dude,
yes,
is Belshazzar, a successor,
yes,
of someone. And so Daniel reprimanded Belshazzar because he had not humbled his heart, even though he knew what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. So he was the next person in line, and he literally did what Nebuchadnezzar did. According to ancient Babylonian texts, Belshazzar had served in the government of King Nergal-Sar in 560 BC. This indicates that he had been old enough to be aware of the events at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life. Instead of learning to submit to the Almighty, he lifted himself up against God by using the temple vessels to blaspheme God. The specific sins Daniel cited were pride, blasphemy, idolatry, and failure to glorify the true God. Amen.
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 Right.
The Lord gave Nebuchadnezzar a year to get himself together, but this guy had just that night.
He was around, so he knew what happened. So it's kind of like doing the same thing that somebody else did, like making the same mistake that somebody else made, literally, on purpose.
As they be saying, past practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Double time.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can get it.
Hey,
I'm
somebody
not
mayors that do all kind of things, the mayors of different cities. Oh, this is past practice. This is what we've been doing for years. That don't mean
yeah.
Right to y'all.
Did somebody read the footnote?
Okay.
Somebody read the footnote, 5:21 through 23.
I read it. As King Belshazzar would have known Babylonian history, so he was familiar with the story of how God had humbled Nebuchadnezzar. Nevertheless, Belshazzar's banquet was a rebellious challenge to God's authority. He took the gold cups from God's temple and drank from them. Ooh, no one who understands that the Most High God rules over the whole universe should be foolish enough to challenge him.
Amen.
And that kind of reminds me of Eli's sons. Eli's sons played in the temple. They knew they weren't supposed to be doing that. God killed them, literally. So, and then in Achan's story,
Achan coveted against God, knew he wasn't supposed to, and he got, like, a lot of people killed with him that didn't have nothing to do with it. So definitely make sure you obey. Yeah. Number 14. What did the high officials expect to complain about, thus encouraging tension?
Chapter 6, verse 12.
Okay.
No? 12 and 13 or just 12? I don't know which one. Maybe none.
I had 13, but then if you go up, you read what they had made a law to set them up. But then,
that's what I had.
Then,
yep.
Yeah, they, if you read up, yeah, they set them up. And then 13 is what they went, ran and told the king. So I don't know if it would start from the beginning.
Well, I had 12 and 13, so I didn't know.
Okay. I have 4 and 5, but then I could do 12 and 13 too.
I didn't think it was right, so I had four.
Because the word expect, that was one of those that was blame that on God. Because they knew that Daniel for real, because they knew that Daniel wasn't gonna bow to him, so they expect, you know, that's what they expected. And so that's why I was like, Lord, I'm going to get yelled at for this question, but here we are. So I have 4 and 5, but then I could definitely do 12 or 13 too, just to,
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, 4 reads, then the other administrators and high high officers began searching for some plot in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for the next 30 days. Any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes, I don't know, Medes or Medes, and Persians. Mm-hmm. What is it, Medes?
Medes.
And Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Then the officials went back to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about the law, about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of the lions? Yes, the king replied, that decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they said, the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. All right. If you look at the footnote, I love the footnote, 6, 3, and 4, and 6, 4, and 5, those are good. They wrap up, you know.
Okay. But Daniel made enemies at work by doing a good job. Perhaps you have had a similar experience. When you begin to excel, you will find that coworkers may look for ways to hold you back and tear you down. How should you deal with those who would cheer at your downfall and even try to hasten it? Conduct your whole life above reproach. Then you will have nothing to hide, and your enemies will have a difficult time finding legitimate charges against you. Of course, this will not always save you from attacks, and like Daniel, you will have to rely on God for favor and protection, and trust him when you become the victim of unfair circumstances. And that was it. The next one, 6, 4, and 5. The jealous officials couldn't find anything about Daniel's life to criticize, so they attacked his faith. If you face jealous critics because of your faith, be glad they're criticizing that part of your life. Perhaps they have to focus on your faith as a last resort. Even when you aren't aware, people may be observing your actions. They may watch you more closely because they realize you possess something different. Let this motivate you to keep following the Lord with your words and actions. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
a good one.
That was definitely
when you go to their face and you say, what?
Yeah. And then it was funny because in the next one it talks about how they tricked him in the sign of his law, they appealed to his vanity and made him a god for 30 days. And then he regretted it, you know. So this was a good one.
Wow.
Okay.
That's why, listen, when I saw I had Daniel, I was like, what? So much in there.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. What happened to the malicious high officials or officers?
24?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, I hear 24.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, then the king gave orders to arrest the man who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. Wow. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Amen.
Do you mind reading the footnote, Deacon?
Yes, I mind, because I'm on my computer.
Oh, here you go. Okay.
I'll read it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you.
Sure. Nebuchadnezzar had come to believe that Israel's God was truly powerful because of the faithfulness of Daniel and his friends. Here, Darius was... Is this the right one?
No, the other one before that one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. My fault. In accordance with Persian custom... In accordance with Persian custom, this cruel punishment was transferred to those who had conspired against the king by provoking him into an unjust action. See also Esther chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. The king's great anger resulted in the execution of the evil officials and their families. Evil deeds often backfire on those who plan cruelty. See Psalm 7, verses 14 through 16.
Ooh-wee. Yeah.
Wow. Before we wrap up, I always want to give a synopsis of each chapter, just to give you, like, plant different seeds and, you know, that kind of thing. Chapter 1 is an introduction. It's the development of Daniel and the three men we see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to serve in the court of the king of Babylon. In Chapter 2, we have Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's vision. There's a divine judgment brought for the four kingdoms to come to an end. Chapter 3, we have Nebuchadnezzar setting up a gold image. The three Hebrew boys or men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are cast into a furnace for refusing to bow down to it. They, by the providence of God, come out unscratched. Chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a great tree. Its lesson is God is able to debase the proud. In Chapter 5, we have Belshazzar, probably a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar or next of kin, seeing the handwriting on the wall, and then Darius receives the kingdom. And then in Chapter 6, we see Daniel was made one of the three presidents over the satrap. After the plotting of his enemies, he is cast into the lion's den. He, like his three friends, is preserved by God. Yes. All right. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Yes, comments. You've been very good, very edifying class.
It wasn't 45 minutes either.
Girl.
Thank you, Daddy.
I do have one question. So 531, when it says Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62, why was he so old? There was nobody else left to take it. Because usually they don't take it at that age.
No. You said verse
531. It says, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. He should have been retiring.
Or maybe.
Oh, my God.
Belshazzar,
his 401k plan wasn't right yet.
Or maybe Belshazzar was younger and maybe, like, Darius wasn't, like, first in line, you know what I mean? And so, like, again, he was probably the last resort type guy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I'm going to have to answer that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Good class.
She had
an
answer for us. On that next class, she had an answer.
Yeah, you know I'm looking it up now, Eric. Now she's going to have my brain racket for a week, but it's okay.
I was just wondering, why was she so old?
You can't ask the next teacher. Nobody else teaches Daniel. Now I got to answer it. It's okay.
Wait, I do have one quick comment. So in chapter 1, when they talk about the 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, I feel like that's a clue. Like if we all would eat just produce and what grows out of the ground, it would heal us. And that's all I have to say about that. So
I
know what's really interesting.
Yeah.
You're on your own with that one.
Uh-oh.
Thank you. You're on your own with that one.
But
I
love a garden.
I got a question or a statement because, you know, you hear, I don't know if it's in the Bible or if I've heard, you know, that God want us to eat from the earth, you know, what's grown in the earth or whatever. And then, you know, I hear other people say, well, whatever God created was good. So if it's meat, just pray over it, you know. So I don't know, you know, what's the best, but I do know the health officials say if you eat the vegetables and the more green fruits and vegetables, the healthier you will be, you know.
That may be true, but at some point God did say that he did start allowing us to eat meat. I can't recall when it was, but it was taught to us. I remember that, but I can't tell you when it was, but then at some point it made it where we were allowed to eat meat. But at first it was we was eating nuts and berries. Well, they was eating nuts and berries. I was eating shrimp butt and stuff.
I'm not about to play with you about shrimp butt. So, but it's interesting, though, because I think God does highlight different dietary restrictions for different reasons. Earlier this week, I learned about Samson and the Nazarite vow. And so a part of that vow was to eat fruits and vegetables. And to not eat any unclean animal or something like that. And so I think when we think about cleanliness and we think about our bodies being a temple, right, I think it comes down to moderation. I think it comes down to gluttony, in a sense, because I, too, enjoy bacon. So I don't envision a life with just eating vegetables. But I do understand the health benefits of it. And I think God highlights that in different stories because it also, in Daniel, they talk about because they were on that diet, they were the healthiest in the land. And I think Richard said it earlier that it was so many people. So for them to be the healthiest in the land, then maybe that is a clue to kind of have more fruits and vegetables and natural things versus, you know what I mean? But then when you think about meat and you think about the leanness of the meat. Yeah, it is protein, and then where you get it from, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going straight to the farm, I don't understand why it would be, you know what I mean? Like, it's the freshest, that's it. That's as fresh as it gets. But I do I do think it comes down to gluttony, and then, you know, sometimes we get caught up in, like, our favorite food, and, like, what we always have to eat or drink every single day. And so I think
that also can turn into an idol in a sense, just food. So that's just my take on it. Sorry.
But going back to what Rebecca said,
I see at some point Darius became king because he overthrew somebody. Darius was overthrown by overthrowing the legitimate somebody's monarch.
Okay.
A-C-H-A-E-M-E-N-I-D, whatever that is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to just say, going back to what Rebecca said, I think what the difference, what we have to do, what she said, something about growing, what we grow, we have become dependent on the world, which we're not supposed to give us our foods and our meats and what they put in them to the pesticides and the, you know, let's do this genetic change. Let's cross a pear and an apple, and let's give the sheep. And I watched the documentary on, we are one step away from, because the big companies have taken over. They're growing all of our stuff, and they're using the same grain. Different farmers used to do different things, and now what they use to fertilize the land, it kills off the other crops, and then they can't find anything to kill it. So we're putting this into our bodies. So we go back to, like what she said, what we put into our bodies, you know, these are our temples. We should know what's going in, and we don't. We count on the world to tell us what it is. And then when they have an outbreak, oh, my goodness, E. coli, this and that. But if we did it ourselves, if we did the gardening, if we had the animals and we gave them feed and, you know, how many different eggs, how many options do we have for eggs now, free range, brown, green, or whatever.
Right.
But I think what she says, it is, we need to start going back to doing it ourselves and knowing what it is instead of just counting on the world to tell us that it's healthy. I mean, because if you look, when I was in school, you hardly ever had people with asthma. When I had my son, everybody had asthma, or jaundice when I was little, or jaundice, asthma, or now, you know, whatever the new thing is with babies. I don't know, thank God, I don't have little babies, but it's always a cycle of something new, and then you have to look at it. It's the water, it's what we drink in, it's the milk pesticide, you know, so. I agree with that. We do need to start paying more attention to what we're eating, because if you're eating something and you look at the label and you can't pronounce it, I mean, should we be researching that, or should we be putting that in our bodies?
True. And at dangerous amounts, right?
Exactly.
Excellent.
Right.
That's our favorite. That's an excellent point, though. Really, that's true.
Agree.
Yeah.
Total truth.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you just look at us and you look at pharmaceutical companies, the money they making because of, you know, all of a sudden everybody is diabetic. All of a sudden, you know, they're making money. Yeah. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, so we have to do that. But sorry, I didn't mean to go over. Thank you, sorry.
No, you okay. You know, usually I'm done at 30 seconds.
I'm overindulging.
Just don't too much of, you know, something that we love, like all those sweets that we indulge in.
Yeah.
I know so too much of something is, that's when it becomes bad.
Right.
I like them, Kathy.
Yeah. And if you look at the Europeans, like a lot of the stuff that we allow in our foods, Europe does not. Like all these dyes and colors. If you look at the labels and the foods in Europe and look at ours, you will be amazed at the difference what American allows and what Europe allows in food.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right, Kat, let's talk about that on your show.
America is a capitalist nation.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm eating sweet
rice. Yeah. Right. I had some before we started, Kat. Don't feel bad. Yeah. I had some sleep before we started. Don't feel bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and it's interesting because we don't understand how damaging it is until it's damaged.
Oh my God.
So like I didn't think electricity did anything to you until like I was like not feeling well one day completely. And I was like, what is happening? I'm thin. What's going on, Lord? He's like, no, your blood has more sugar in it than what it's supposed to. So yep. And with us being, again, us being the temple, just I guess we have to, everybody has to work on moderation now. We're all charged to it. So
yeah. And our babies, look at our kids and obesity. And they don't drink water. They don't drink water, and they're going to start off now with health issues. We have to be, we're not an active country anymore, you know.
Yeah.
That's true, though.
Amen.
Exercise. Don't get outside and exercise and walk and, you know.
We're going to have to get the right, the Running for Christ bike riding club together or something.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm there.
Yeah, no, that would be fun.
I would do
that.
Yeah. Hmm. No. Oh, that would be fun. We could. The youth. Ooh, that'd be fun. Okay. Any other comments, concerns? Great suggestion. This was awesome.
Thank you again, everybody. Great class.
Yeah. Thank you. This was nice. And look, I went over 30 seconds. Eric, check me out.
Before we close out.
Your turn, not mine. Yep.
Before we close out, I got a couple of announcements. You know, while y'all was having that discussion, I was looking at Romans chapter 14. You know, the Lord gave us dietary laws, gave Israel dietary laws a long time ago, but things kind of changed. Like Eric said in Genesis chapter 9, he brought meat back into the, well, he put meat into the diet. From Adam until the flood, it was vegetarian. But when from the flood forward, meat was added to the diet. But as Pastor Tate said, moderation is the key. That's the whole key. God gave us everything. I think Pastor Jonathan Tate preached that last week, that the Lord has given us everything, but, you know, moderation is the key. When you get in excess on anything, it could become a problem. You know, Romans chapter 14 talks about just because we have these different dietary habits or eating habits, we shouldn't condemn each other because of the habits that we have.
Right.
Yeah, see, the Hebrew boys, they wanted to stick to the Jewish diet that they had, and so they were willing to do what they had to do to stick to it. I'm pretty sure even after the 10 days, if it didn't work out, they still wasn't going to eat the king's meat. But
right.
God blessed them because
right.
they wanted to observe God's laws. So God blessed them to come out better than everybody else around. Okay. Yeah, so that's, you know, I love the book of Daniel because the Lord just pours out tons of information here, especially mm-hmm. about the end times. He goes all the way past our time, all the way past the tribulation period, all the way past the thousand-year reign of Christ, right to Revelation 21 and 22. And can you imagine receiving from God that kind of information? And you lived in Daniel's day, but he gave him prophecies that go past the day that we live in right now. You know, I didn't read the whole book, so I can't wait till next week we get into that stuff. Yeah. But anyway, this Friday, we're going to have Good Friday service. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn has said, hey, have Good Friday service. So we're going to have Good Friday service this Friday. And for the one who wanted to know, well, the ones who wanted to know, they didn't want to know who would be preaching. They wanted to know would there be announcements. So, yes. <they'll... laughs> I'm like, really? So you listen for it. I guess they love Crystal so much. They're like, will there be announcements? I'm like, well, oh. Yeah. Who, but I was like, wow.
So,
wow, that's Hey, everybody.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong. She got a fanny plug.
She packs a, exactly. She packs a lot to those announcements, and that's deep. That's deep. Will there be announcements? Yes, there'll be announcements. Amen.
I got to speak to Crystal. She might need an agent.
You're getting famous. Boy, she can go all over the world doing announcements. Okay, Saturday, Terrence Tate will be preaching. Pastor Terrence Tate will be preaching. And on Sunday, I'll be preaching. We'll be going over, I got to change the title of my sermon. It's going to be Jesus, the Lost 40 Days. Jesus, the Lost 40 Days. We're going to look at something that you don't hear a whole lot about. It's the appearances of Christ to his disciples after he rose from the dead.
Okay.
You don't hear a whole lot of preaching about that. We preached the resurrection. He got up early Sunday morning, and we say that, right? But then after that, we don't talk about one thing that Jesus did after that. So we're going to talk about those last six appearances of the resurrected Christ. Okay. All right. And on that thing about eating food, eat what God made. And enjoy moderately what man makes. Like one time I prayed to the Lord to bless my Suzy Q. I said, Lord Jesus, bless the Suzy Q that it be a strength and nourishment to our body, like I pray for all my food. And the Lord said, then don't eat it. Because the only way that's going to be a strength and nourishment to your body is if you don't eat it. I eat it, but he's talking about it. He's like, what do you want me to do? Turn that into a piece of broccoli? Because that ain't no nutrition in that. But I went on ahead and ate it, and, you know, there you go. But
God bless you.
Is
God bless you.
Moderation is the key, right?
LBA1.
Exactly. You know, you got to believe that your glazed donut is a piece of broccoli. You got to have faith.
Amen. I believe that.
Crispy cream.
That's it for my announcements. Excellent class, excellent discussion, and I'm telling you, with Daniel and these Hebrew boys, what you're looking at is a perfect example of what we were talking about on Cat Show. I mean, Deaconess Clyburn, for the folks out there who might not know who Cat is, okay, is that secular education with that Christian education. I mean, God gave them special skills, right? But they had a lot of secular Babylonian education, a lot of secular Jewish education, and Bible education. And those three things together, do you see, as Sarah pointed out, that these were teenagers, 15 years old, and they're running kingdoms. God has them set up to run kingdoms. I mean, not run a corner store. They're running kingdoms. Remember Joseph? You know, he hit, Egypt when he was 17? Okay? And by the time he's 30, he's a prime minister? So God mixes secular education, and, you know, we cannot be kicking against that because he always uses both of them to get you into a place. Like to get Daniel. You see how many promotions Daniel and them got? Every time something came up that was a disaster, God made all things work together for their good. Why? Because they love God.
Exactly. And they never worshiped their God. Never.
No. And they see, that's how you go. See, we got these old ganky Christians who go to Washington and work in the government, and that money be eating them alive. Okay? And they just turn their back on Jesus. But these Hebrew boys worked in a foreign government where they were slaves. But God just kept advancing them because they kept advancing him. And so he kept advancing them. And they just got one raise after another. One raise, that Daniel running around like 2 Chainz. They put a big chain on his neck. You know, after your boy Belshazzar partied out with God's stuff, and that didn't quite work out. So Daniel did get his gold chain. But God just kept rewarding them, and they were in a bad situation. but it didn't make no difference. So remember that wherever you work, take over.
Amen.
Make that place, let the Lord take over wherever you work. Because if I can do it, I know you can. You got to have a better work ethic than I did. So take over. Rise up. And you know what I mean? Just like them. The Lord
Amen.
Will make you renowned. He will do it.
Amen.
But you have to be willing to put in the time and be faithful to God. And if you do that, I'm telling you, he will blow you up. If he can blow me up and I'd have been fired 37 times, you know he can blow you up. You ain't been fired that many times. You ain't been fired probably 5 times. So let him have his way. He can take you somewhere. I can't believe that. I literally, the way I found that out is that I've been fired that much. You know how they send you them statements or used to for your Social Security?
Uh-huh.
Everywhere you worked is listed. And I looked at all.
Wow.
I looked at all those jobs, and I was like, fired, fired. That one was only 2 weeks. How did it even get in here? But
wow.
It was like a laundry list of jobs from year to year, and then at one time there was a stretch of 5 years missing. And I used to really have to struggle to explain those 5 years, but I always told them. They said, what were you doing? I said, I was attempting to run a business. I was lying, but that's what I told them.
Oh, my God.
I was attempting to run a business, and I tried over and over. It didn't work. Now I'm seeking employment. And they hired me thinking
wow.
I had the gift to run a business, so I must be pretty good. And so they hired me. Even though I had been fired a million times, and I'm sitting here lying, making up stuff. I had been hanging in the street. And then I met Sheila, so I had to get a job. So I had to come up with some real good stories.
That's amazing.
Yeah, her daddy wanted to know why I didn't have a job, a car, and why did I live with my mother. So I had to get a job. Real quick.
That's right. As they say, the heart won't want the heart won't.
But you know what? When I started working with the Lord and doing things his way and just denying myself
Amen.
Continuously and doing it his way, I'm not lying to y'all. At Muffler Man right there on 4th Street in Emmons, I got 7 raises in 1 year. So what
Amen.
I see God doing with these Hebrew boys, he keep promoting them and they teenagers. You know, the Lord is sometimes, Sarah be saying, with the trick questions, he does that and gets you in trouble. But like them Hebrew boys, I know they was like, wow, we just got promoted yesterday, and now we've got another promotion. But if you get to the place where they were when they told the king, I love it from the King James Version, it says, O your majesty, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. And that you know, that statement right there did it for me. I'm like, oh, the boys is rolling. They wanted the king to know. They gave him his respect, your majesty. But they wanted him to hear plainly. It's like the whole court just got quiet because, you know, it's the king's court and there's a lot of people in there. And it got real quiet. And they says to Nebuchadnezzar, king of the earth, they say to him, O king, your majesty, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. We just will not bow down now or ever to your God. What? I was like, wow. I mean, you know, it wasn't like they were just going to get slapped. They were going into the fiery furnace, and they literally didn't care. And their faith wasn't fake. It was real because they didn't burn up. That stuff tripped me out when I was reading that about what God could do. But that's when you just put it all in for him. Okay, that's a Vitra's fault because she went over, and then I got to go over spirit. And so y'all can blame a Vitra's for that.
Yeah.
I'll take this one for the team today. I'll take it.
I'd rather blame Eric, though.
Yeah, he's blamable. Yeah. He's blamable. He's very blamable.
He's blamable.
Yes, all the time. I take it. I got all my little skills and everything, though.
He's blamable with all that background noise. See over there, he's blamable.
What noise?
What noise?
Don't let him get you started, Eric. No.
Right.
Well, we just blame you for noise, even though you.
Oh, okay. Because I'm getting to say, I expect that. That's why I try and keep it quiet.
You like Deacon Tate trying to find a quiet place.
But I heard a TV in the background. I knew there was a TV on in the background.
Listen, washing dishes, moving, popping pans, and all kinds of heavy breathing.
I haven't done none of that.
All right, y'all get off my board now. Y'all get off my board.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I was about to pray.
Yeah. Hoping my pastor would stand up for me.
And he's cooking the steak.
Go ahead.
Ooh, okay,
wow.
Sarah, that's you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever went to 8 o'clock. So you guys are amazing. Thanks for coming. I have next week also.
I need to talk to you.
Okay. He needs to talk to you. Privately, because we're getting ready to get off of your dad.
Exactly.
I'm going to pray. All right. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to just come enjoy ourselves, Lord. And thank you for a rich Bible study. Allow us all to have a great week. And thank you again for your sacrifice. Bless our pastors as they come this weekend, Lord, as we continue our anniversary month. Bless the congregation. And thank you again for the grace that you give daily. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
Amen.
Amen. But can you put it on? Can you drive at about 20 instead of 65? Slow down a little bit. Yeah, you got about 65. We all doing 20.
You the only one doing 20, Eric. Everybody else know I do 75.
That's how she knows, man. Yeah. She's been like that since birth.
I don't have no tickets either.
So you got to listen to Sarah with wheels on. You can't be... Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. You can't be standing next to her because she don't
leave. We went 2 hours today, Eric.
My baby sleep with her eyes open, okay?
She's ready to go, huh?
Nothing.
They got to get ready. Yeah. She's be ready.
I'll be ready, Eric. I'll be ready.
I dare you.
All right.
And
y'all,
I thank you for that, too.
My sermon title for this Friday is going to be Why We Call It Good Friday. So lock in, and I've read my book.
What time?
Friday at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
12 o'clock.
Okay.
I read section 3 of my book because it follows, number one, I got to preach from it Sunday and Friday, but... if you got my first book, Christ to His Ascension, read section 3 and you can follow Jesus, you know, all the way to the cross, and then you can get into those 6 appearances after the cross in chapter 7. It's only 7 chapters. You know, I wouldn't say it's more than 25,000 words. So that's practically nothing. So,
are you going to record it?
Oh, the service? Yes, indeed. Yes, the service will be recorded and archived. And it will be available 5 seconds after the live show is over. No, 5 minutes.
Thank you.
All right. Again, thank everybody. Awesome evening. And we will see you when we see you. Don't forget to tell John Boy good night.
All right, Deacon Tate, you can call me whenever.
All right.
Take care.
that nothing comes close to what the vibe is. Nothing's more exciting than the time spent with you. No one but you can love me true. How you love me when you love me and you tell me everything is gonna be alright. Yeah, and you mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you I can resist. You know all the ways to speak to me. I like it when it's just us talking and you don't hold it against me. That you don't really need me for nothing, but I need you for everything. And when I'm honest with you, telling you my issues, you keep it official every time I kick it with you. It's no games, no games, oh, don't change, cause you mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you I can resist. You know all the ways to speak to me. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to